Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And talk about the Packers' signings of Za'Darius and Preston Smith, Adrian Amos, and Billy Turner with our guy Ben Fennell of The Athletic on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Appreciate the time, Ben.
Yeah, you know, it's been a pretty quiet 36 hours. What do you want to talk about? Brexit?
Yeah, you know, there's really
scandal or...
Well, I was actually hoping to get your take here on the Summit League Championship, North Dakota State taking on Omaha later on tonight.
I got plenty of hot takes. I'm not sure the viewers are ready for those.
Ben, let's start with Za'Darius Smith, man. That's the highest price tag. 4 years, $66 million, 20 at signing. Smith is going to get. In that Ravens system, what did you see on the film going inside and out? It felt like more of a sub-type rushing player, but he's going to be able to do his damage all across that defensive line.
Yeah, you know, he definitely capitalized on a good season. The Ravens were one of the top defensive units in the NFL. He came off 8.5 sacks, which is a career high for him, and has really been an ascending player since he's been a fourth-round pick out of the University of Kentucky in 2015. But the Ravens are a very sub-multiple defense. They have a lot of interchangeable parts, defensive tackles that are kind of edge players that can kick inside. I think that's really what Za'Darius Smith does well, is he's a versatile chess piece that can play up and down the defensive line. He's not going to run around tackles. He's not a speed rusher by any means, but he's a player that you can play on the edge in early base downs. He could hang on the run. He could set physical edges. And then when you get into those sub packages, if we really want to get after the passer, you could kick him into three tech and match him up against guards, or even line him up over the center and try to isolate him against a bigger offensive lineman. He's really good and violent with his hands. So I think he's just a very interesting player to work into the defensive line depth.
And what does the tape show on Preston Smith? He's a big body. He can definitely play against the run, it tends to see. But what does the tape show on Preston Smith, what he's going to bring from the Redskins?
Yeah, I've seen Preston quite a bit with my work with the Philadelphia Eagles over the past couple of years. And he's just been one of those edge rushers that always gave Jason Peters trouble. Obviously, Jason Peters, a Hall of Famer, but he was one that really struggled with his length. He has really long arms, 34-inch arms coming out of the combine a couple years ago. He's strictly an edge rusher. Now, even though he's 270 pounds, he's not someone that's going to kick inside at three tech. He's kind of a long edge rusher, pretty technical with his hands, likes to use the long arm move into the chest of tackles. He could set physical edges in the run game, but another guy that uses his hands really well, has a good first step, but he's not a flexible, explosive edge rusher, again, that just wants to run around tackles. And I much more prefer those guys that want to use their hands, more technicians that are long. They obviously have the body type. They're broad players, but this is a guy that doesn't have high sack totals, but it doesn't mean he's not affecting the quarterback. And I went through just and buzzed through a bunch of their games on the defensive side of the ball at the Redskins, and he hits a lot of quarterbacks' arms on third down. He hurries the process of quarterbacks on third down, and that has a value. It may not show up in the sack totals, which gets a lot of these guys paid at the end of the day, but he's someone that affects the quarterback, and that's what this defense needs.
And with both of those Smith guys, Ben, that should definitely help such a young secondary, and just how long you'll have to be in pass pro.
Oh, no question. I mean, show me four guys that can rush the passer, I'll show you four guys that can cover. And that's kind of the old mantra in there. And if you hurry up that clock from quarterbacks, suddenly you don't have to cover as long, and you start to see the full defense get put together. I think just adding these depth pieces to the defensive line group, I like Reggie Gilbert. I like Kyler Fackrell. But they shouldn't be integral players. They shouldn't be your starters. I like them as depth pieces. And having this kind of competition and adding to the room is about filling out your roster and coming up with a competitive team.
Talking with Ben Fennell of The Athletic here on the Wendy's Big Show. And Ben, Adrian Amos coming over from the Bears on that four-year deal. He'll get 14 in the first year, which I like, giving you some financial stability right away. But when you look at the tape with Amos, it felt like to me coming into this free agency period, he was a product of playing against a guy that was first-team All-Pro next to him, Eddie Jackson. And we just talked about guys that can rush the passer. I mean, that front four, obviously Khalil Mack is moonlighted, but they put so much heat on the quarterback. I felt like maybe that's where Amos' playmaking ability was kind of overshadowed or was pushed up and risen up.
Yeah, I mean, that Bears defense last year was close to a Pro Bowl type of roster. Literally everybody on every level of defense, there was top-tier players from Khalil Mack, Akeem Hicks. They brought in the rookie Roquan Smith. Kyle Fuller is a great cover corner. They had one of the better nickels in Bryce Callahan. I thought the safety tandem with him and Eddie Jackson were the best in the NFL. They limit the explosive plays, but when you see really well-rounded groups like that, you kind of question who's making who. Is it the front helping the coverage? Is it just having good players all around them? But when I felt the Bears had the best defense in the NFL, and who played the most on the defense, that's Adrian Amos. He played nearly 98% of the snaps, over 1,000 snaps last year. A lot of single high looks. Well, they'll work him down into the box on the kind of those robber coverages where he's really good in the middle of the field and driving underneath throws. He's not really too rangy of a back-end player. If he's on the back end, traditionally it's in a too high look, playing some half-field stuff. But I really like the angles that he takes. I think he's a good wrap-up tackler. He's not going to go blast anybody. He's not the best tackler in the world, but I thought he takes better angles and is a more reliable tackler than what we've seen from some guys on the back end the past couple of years. If it wasn't Adrian Amos, I was looking at Deshaun Gibson, LaMarcus Joyner. I'm really glad they brought somebody in to add to that safety room. And just adding all these depth pieces now in what I call the second tier of free agency, we didn't really go after those A-level players, those high-priced guys on day one in free agency. But filling out your roster with these B and C-level type of players that are good value, suddenly the first round, second round of the draft, it's not as much pressure to fill in those areas of need. And I think this is a great way to fill out your roster, add competition, and not put too much stress on your decision-making on draft day.
And Ben, my favorite of the four guys, Billy Turner, selfishly, 4 years, $28 million, coming out of North Dakota State. He's going to allow Matt LaFleur, I feel, in the run game, to utilize that wide zone scheme that they like so much in that Kyle Shanahan offensive scheme.
Yeah, you know, he's a classic Packer offensive lineman. He's a guard that has kicked out and played tackle before in the past. He's a pretty easy mover as far as, you know, being light on his feet. He's not a mauler. He's not really what I call a people mover. And when I'm kind of describing those heavy, nasty, powerful interior offensive linemen, he fits.
Well, he's not Josh Sitton, is what you're saying.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. But I'm just worried about a guy like Billy Turner, who's only played over 50% of snaps twice in his career. He's only been in the league for 4 or 5 years, so it's not too concerning. But in those years where he's been a steady player, his play has been very up and down. So I think the money was a little bit rich. It's not the deepest interior offensive line free agency class. So if you want to add any sort of C or B level depth, this is the money you have to spend. And yeah. I'm not initially going to plug him right into right guard. I think he's going to be in the mix with Justin McCray and Nico Saragusa, who they picked up at the end of last year. But I wouldn't be surprised if they're still going to address offensive line with possibly the 12th pick or that back end pick in round one. There's a lot of intriguing offensive linemen. I think it's more of a top heavy draft. That I think there's more value in that first round and on day two than hoping to find somebody on day three.
Hey, I got a question for you. So before all this happened, obviously, draft day looked to be a bigger deal than maybe it is now because they filled quite a few holes. Knowing that, is there a guy that you would feel comfortable trading 12 and 30 and whatever to try and move up, to try and go get, that you think could have that type of impact that's worth it?
You know, it's going to depend on, you know, the board and who maybe is available. I'm certainly looking between 13 and 20 and seeing if maybe the Packers want to bundle that number 30 with a second-round pick, or maybe bundle the two twos and a three and move back up into the first round if somebody that they had higher on their board suddenly falls to 15, 16, to 20 in the first round. I mean, it could be a Jonah Williams if he's available in the teams, who seems to be kind of a highly debated prospect, whether he's a tackle, a guard, whether he has the length to hang on the edge in the NFL. I mean, if they see Cody Ford, who's a big mauling tackle with guard experience from Oklahoma, they see him fall to 15 or 20. That would be a great pick for a Packers offensive line that's a versatile offensive lineman. So, you know, it's going to depend on how the board falls, certainly. So there's going to be some value in there. If there's somebody that they had rated highly that drops a couple spots, I'd love to see them go get him.
Hey, Ben, how you doing, buddy? I would love to know about – I like Jonathan Abrams. I know for the – we talked about Amos a little bit, which that's the guy I really wanted. I wasn't a big Landon Collins guy anyway. I kind of like a guy that played on a top defense. But what about a safety in the draft maybe they can get later in the first or the second round that would be available for them that they could put with Amos? Now, he would be your kind of the middle of the safety guy, you know, like deep center field.
Yeah, you know, Jonathan Abram, I compared to somebody at the, I was talking to somebody at the combine. I said, you know what? He's everything a Packers fan wants out of Kentrell Bryce.
He's
a linear.
Exactly thumper. Right.
He's a straight line, has speed. Exactly and when he right. gets there, he gets there with a thump and a bang. And he really likes to deliver the wood. But I think he takes better angles. I think he has more instincts as a Kentrell Bryce. Not to remember, or not to forget, Kentrell Bryce was an undrafted free agent out of Louisiana Tech. Right. You know, the fact he made the roster as a rookie and has contributed in the NFL up to this extent has been very impressive. I mean, that's nothing to take away from Kentrell Bryce.
Yeah, I understand.
Yeah, Jonathan Abram played in the SEC, Mississippi State. He obviously is a step faster, you know, than kind of those undrafted players. But he tested very well. He's an explosive player. He's someone that you just want hunting and roaming that back end of the defense to clean up tackles and just to fill it out. He plays with attitude. He plays with aggression. He plays with intensity. He plays with a lot of enthusiasm. And those are the type of players I want on the Packers defense.
You know, Ben, I want to get this out there because oftentimes, you know, we media guys, we always try to look into things and try to figure things out. And we didn't like the setup that Mark Murphy had and then breaking down in silos. He's running this. We don't know who's in control. This feels a little different in years past because you have coaches on this coaching staff that are actually affiliated with a couple of these linebackers. And it seems like the message, well, not the message, but it seems like maybe Brian has talked to some of these guys or had some play with these guys and they were responsible or had some talk in going and getting these guys and bringing them to Green Bay, where under Ted Thompson, we've never really seen anything like that.
Yeah, you know, Green Bay was traditionally one of the more old school front offices, and their personnel department did things in a very closed door type of mentality and type of process. Starting to see a little bit more open here. And like you're saying, going and talking to some of these coaches and bringing in some guys with connections to these players, I think it's just a great resource to add to learn another aspect about the player. If they have some personal anecdote about the player or their work ethic or their abilities or skill sets, I think that's the right thing to do and what you have to do to build a competent roster and a competent scouting department in the NFL.
Ben, we appreciate the time, man, on short notice, and we'll be talking to you more and more throughout this free agency period. And definitely as we get up on the 2019 draft with two first-round picks. Can't wait, man.
Absolutely, guys. Always a pleasure.
Thanks a lot, Ben.
Ben Fennell of The Athletic on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline.
Looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019? Look no further and call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.